Cultured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
You are God's, little g. You are God's because you came from God.
When I read in the Bible where he says, I am, I just smile and say, yes, I am too.
God came from heaven, became a man, made man into little gods.
We have the potential and the capacity through a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ to know God, but that does not mean we are God. The Bible is very clear. There is only one God, and he will not share his glory with another.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Is anybody there?
I am.
Does anybody care?
Oh, I do. I really, really do.
Does anybody see what I see?
Well, maybe one guy. This is Wretched Radio. Did you see the news? Of course you didn't, because there ain't nobody talking about it, with good or bad grammar for that matter. Nobody is discussing what I consider to be one of the most significant events in Christendom in a long time. King Charles II, who is the purported head of the Church of England, praying with the Roman Catholic Pope in the Sistine Chapel. And there's only one guy that seems to be up in arms besides me. Ian Paisley, he's a Presbyterian of some stripe in Great Britain. He's simply outraged, saying the king should step down. He has violated his oath. He is no longer upholding Protestant doctrine. And I agree, he's definitely not. He's been ecumenical for forever because he wanted to be the head of faiths, as opposed to the faith, because he is one who adheres to a worldview that says all religions basically equally valid. And so he has no concerns about praying with the Pope, which has not happened in centuries. I think in the early 20th century, one of the kings, you know, if you're from Britain, you don't need me to tell you who the guy was. But as a private citizen, there was an outcry because the king was going to meet with the Pope. And people were like, oh, no, you don't, because that sends the wrong message. So he met with him as a private citizen. I think before then, the last time a royal met with a Pope was in 1000-something, like 1022. But today, okay, it wasn't today. A few days ago, King Charles actually went to Rome, actually went into the Sistine Chapel to pray with the Roman Catholic Pope. Oh, Anglican Communion, what has happened to you? Well, it has become so watered down that it is imploding on itself. Don't know if you heard the news, but there's actually a new Anglican Communion. You say, what do you mean there's a new Anglican? There already is an Anglican Communion, not according to GAFCON. These are the global Anglicans who have had enough due to the fact that the new head of the Church of England is a goyal. And they said, that's it. That is just a straw that has broken the Anglican camel's back. We are out of here. Would you like to hear the letter? Good, because I have it for you right here. To our dear Anglican brothers and sisters in Christ. By the way, this is actually encouraging. There's also some encouraging news coming out of the Methodist Church. A number of churches have broken away from the United Methodist Church. Now, I don't share every single theological understanding that Methodists do, but Methodism on paper is an Orthodox religion. It's an Orthodox Protestant religion, and we want Methodists to succeed. And there are a number of them who said, sorry, your whole progressive woke agenda is simply a bridge too far. They've left in thousands of Methodist churches now. They're forming underneath their own umbrella. So are the Anglicans. The letter, which will encourage you. Grace and peace to you. That's nice to hear. The first global Anglican future conference, that would be your GAFCON, gathered in 2008 in Jerusalem to prayerfully respond to the abandonment of the scriptures by some of the most senior leaders of the Anglican Communion and to seek their repentance. So this has been going on for a long time. There's been cracks and fissures in the Anglican Communion. We've known this. They've decided the best way to survive is to appease the culture. Wrong decision. The only churches that are growing are the conservative ones that are Bible-based churches. They're either maintaining or they are growing. It's the liberals that are crumbling. In the absence of such repentance, we've been prayerfully advancing towards a future for faithful Anglicans where the Bible is restored to the heart of the communion. Today, that future has arrived. In other words, they're standing up and going, y'all ain't Anglicans, we are. You're not the Anglican communion, we are. Our GAFCON primates, I don't know what gorillas have to do with this, gathered this hour to fulfill our mandate to reform the Anglican communion as expressed in the Jerusalem Statement of 2008. Be it resolved to reorder the Anglican communion as follows, and this will encourage you. Because inside of the Anglican communion, for which we cheer, because we want any small O Orthodox denomination to stay faithful to their Protestantism. These guys are. We declare that the Anglican communion will be reordered with only one foundation of communion. Would you like to guess what it is? If you have studied the Reformation, you shouldn't have to ponder it long. The Bible, that's what they state. Our one foundation of communion is the Bible, translated, read, preached, and taught and obeyed in its plain and canonical sense. Sorry, my glasses are really a dog's brag. Who's been spitting on my glasses? Oh, wait, I have. I'm so sorry. Respectful of the church's historic and consensual reading. That is really good news, because if you're based on the Bible, asterisk, then overall things will go well. What's the asterisk? It's the hermeneutic. How do we read the Bible? Because you can read any piece of literature and turn it into anything you want if you are not guided by correct hermeneutical principles like authorial intent versus reader response. If we don't try to understand what the original author intended, then we're going to turn it into, well, pretty much it'll be Play-Doh, where you morph it and mold it and you turn it into something that it was never intended to be. Back to the Jerusalem Statement. Actually, this is not the Jerusalem Statement as much as the proclamation of GAFCON stating, we've had it. We reject the so-called instruments of communion, namely the Archbishop of Canterbury, the Lambeth Conference, that's their big international shindig, the Anglican Consultative, I can't blame my glasses on that, and the Primates Meeting. What do monkeys have to do with it? I don't understand their ways, but I'm glad that they're toeing the line here. All of these entities of the Anglican Communion have failed to uphold the doctrine and discipline of the Anglican Communion. Isn't that nice to hear? Could it be? Now, to be certain, it would be better if the whole communion were biblical, but at least there's a substantial remnant here. How often do you hear of that? Usually the whole thing goes right down the tubes. In fact, I'm trying to think. I'm sure there were some individual Lutherans who jumped ship when the ELCA went totally rogue, but I'm not aware that they spun off another synod of Lutheranism. But they are in the Methodist Church and they are in the Anglican Communion. Number three, we cannot continue to have communion with those who advocate this revisionist agenda, which has abandoned the inerrant Word of God as the final authority and overturned Resolution 10 of the 1998 Lambeth Conference. I don't know what that means, but I do know that they're upholding the Bible. They are upholding the Bible. The reason that they have decided we can't do no more is because they decided that the head of the Church of England violates what their charter is, and that is it should be a dude. Well, they installed a dudette. Not to mention, you've got the head of the Church of England, not just the king himself, praying with the Pope. Oof, duh. How many people will be persuaded? It's okay. how many denominations, Protestant denominations, will start to think Protestants and Catholics together? We've already got a movement inside of evangelicalism. It's been afoot and it's been brewing for decades now. Evangelicals and Catholics together. Well, according to the Roman Catholic Church, we're not. According to Protestants, too. But it just makes us sound like we're mean if we're the ones who separate from somebody. It is the Roman Catholic Church who said, y'all are anathema. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what they said. The Council of Trent 500 years ago. We're coming up on the 500th anniversary of the Counter-Reformation, where the Roman Catholic Church, they finally realized we're on our heels. We better start codifying and declaring what we stand for and that we're opposed to Protestantism. And what are they opposed to? Grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, revealed in Scripture alone. And now we are seeing an ecumenical effort that is almost certain to confuse countless Christians. It will no doubt tempt other Protestant denominations that are going wonky to embrace Rome. And the reality is we don't. We can't. But that statement is only possible if our foundation remains sola scriptura. This is what the Protestant Reformation was all about. Who is the authority? According to Protestants, and now GAFCON, salute! It's the Bible. This is Wretched Radio.
Let's be honest. You've earned your PhD in couch sitting. You know exactly which cushion has the perfect amount of give. You are a professional. Well, congratulations. Your expertise just became holy ground. Fortis Plus has officially arrived on your TV. From your phone to now on your Roku, Samsung, LG, Vizio, Apple TV. Basically, if it has a screen and an internet connection, Fortis Plus is there. Go ahead, stay seated, but download Fortis Plus first because your couch just got promoted.
Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually felt something? Without fear, without shame, without immediately wanting to numb it. If you're living on autopilot, you're not alone. Millions are told the same thing. It's just a chemical imbalance. Hey, take this, you'll be fine. But you're not fine. You're numb. Dr. Greg Gifford gets that, and his new series, Life Without the Numb, is available right now, absolutely free at FortisPlus.org. This isn't about ignoring struggles. It's about transformation from the inside out. You know what's annoying? Everyone acts like you should just automatically know how to be a man. Like it's supposed to be obvious or something. Well, Dr. Adam Tyson is actually doing something. He's going to tell you the truth. A brand new Fortis Forum that you can find at FortisPlus.org. 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. It's on Fortis Plus on demand. You can watch whenever you want the Fortis Forum with Dr. Adam Tyson. And it's free because Fortis Plus is free. FortisPlus.org. FortisPlus.org. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Ever feel like you're watching the world turn upside down and wondering if everyone else is seeing the same thing you are? Yeah, you're not alone. And in Fortis Institute, we're not just watching from the sidelines. We're fighting back with truth. But here's the thing. That mission, well, it takes resources. And that's where faithful gospel partners come in. The church needs more than just encouragement right now. It needs equipping. Will you stand with us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. So we decided to run the gospel through a focus groove, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. We thanked them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel. You can listen to your heart's content at FortisPlus.org.
Attributes of God. What does God's patience look like? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. God is not hurried, nor has he forgotten his promises. God will bring about the fulfillment of his eternal plan in due time."
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Do not be confused. You're going to think this is the church's one foundation.
See not task unfinished that drives us to our knees.
But it's not.
I need that undiminished rebukes our slothful ease.
This is Wretched. Philip. This is Wretched Radio. That's Philip Webb. If you're not familiar with Hymns of Grace on the YouTube machine, wow, is it helpful for finding music on Sunday mornings. Use it all the time. Discover this hymn, which shares the tune of the church's one foundation. But this is more of a focus on evangelism and missions. It goes a little something like this, man.
We who rejoice to know thee, renew before thy solemn pledge we owe thee to go and make thee known.
Sang this on Sunday at Alpharetta Bible Church. Why? Because we studied the exclamation point of the Gospel of Matthew. You say you're talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus? No, I think that's the crescendo. I think, though, there's a coda, there's an exclamation point on the end of the Gospel of Matthew, and that is, go and make disciples. Specifically, it's a present participle, while going. The command is to make disciples. How do you do that? How do you make a disciple? Well, you share the gospel with them while you're going, which means you don't have to be a missionary. You don't have to have the gift of evangelism or hold the office of evangelist, if there is one. But you do need to make the most of every opportunity while going. Share the gospel. The lyrics to this really good. And then they kind of did a Chris Tomlin to it. They added some extra stuff. With Amazing Grace, my chains are gone, I've been set free. That ain't in the original. Here's the lyrics. Where other lords beside thee hold their unhindered sway, where forces that defiled thee defy thee still today, with none to heed their crying for life and love and light, unnumbered souls are dying and pass into the night. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news.
Unnumbered souls are dying and passing.
Take it away, Chris Tomlin.
We go to all the world with kingdom hope and firm. No other name has power to save but Jesus Christ alone.
That's good stuff and a good reminder that we are to be about the mission of our master. What is it? We long to see his churches filled. I think that's how sweet and awful is the place, this the church, where such special things take place. Wow, did we had just a beautiful Sunday at ABC. We had baptisms. Oh, how nice is it to hear? And wow, the testimonies. Three young people. It was just bang on. Although, I'm not going to name Max's name. Was it Grayson? It was Grayson. Who said during his testimony, when his dad first dragged him to the church, he said he would sometimes fall asleep during the sermons. Hey, but now he doesn't. I hope. And boy, that was another beautiful thing that happened. The sweet things that happen inside of the church. Not only did we get to witness the gospel, which is what baptism is. It's a viewing of the gospel. It's a dramatic presentation of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. and we, no, you don't have to do this, but we like for the baptismal candidates to give their testimony because it's such an encouragement. And the encouragement that came from both the brother and sister, Grayson and Harper, was about the impact their dad had on them. That their dad not only spoke, but modeled, that he actually believes what he's telling them they should believe. They were seeing it in action with their pop. Dad, you got power over your kids. You got power. And then, okay, this is perp. In Sunday school, Eric did a bang-up job talking about Ephesians 6:1, that children are to honor their father and mother. And that's what we saw in the baptismal jacuzzi. I'm sorry, that's not the... I actually used... Jimmy, you love that. I actually called it the jacuzzi on Sunday morning. That was a little, you know, baptistry, I guess, would be the churchy name. It was so nice to see young people. No, they're teenagers. They're not children. They were honoring their father. Whoa. If you're young, would you like to be counter what's going on in our culture? Because the trend right now is for kids to ghost mom and dad, to just cast off the shackles that so encumber you because they tell you, no, that's not a smart thing to do. I don't think you want to be doing that, honey. In fact, I'm not going to let you do that. Oh, got to get rid of those parents. Well, these two said, not going to do that. And they're wise. They're wise. I get to see this now. For the last 2 years, I've been witnessing this at ABC, that people who are striving to be biblical, they're an aroma that is sweet when they walk in. It's just, you can just see it. They're unencumbered by weights, by heaviness, guilt, shame, frustration, confusion, all of the things that can kind of cause somebody to be kind of slouch-shouldered. You see these people walk in who are, they're doing it by the book, and you can see the impact it has on them physically. And then you hear their stories and you go, wow, the Lord is doing such sweet things in their life. And that's what church is supposed to be, a sweet place where sweet things happen, like baptism, like children honoring their parents. How's about taking communion? How's about the announcement that souls are getting saved? How's about the dreadful day when, for the sake of the purity of the church, church discipline must be practiced? These things are profound. They're deep things, and they only happen in the context of the local church. How sweet and awful is the place. But that doesn't mean we're supposed to sit in our churches and bask in it. We're supposed to be going and making disciples. That's the point. I'm persuaded that's the point that Matthew was making, because if you read the other gospel accounts post-resurrection, there's all kinds of details. Luke and John have details, all of the different meetings they met with, that Jesus met with Peter, the descriptions of meeting with the disciples, the Thomas event. All of these things are recorded elsewhere. So why didn't Matthew include them? Why did he make it appear that at the mountain in Galilee, which is probably the mountain on which he delivered the Sermon on the Mount, why did he give what he would give the impression are the last words of Jesus, which weren't? They weren't the last words of Jesus. When Jesus gave the Great Commission, go and make disciples, those were not his last words. He did plenty of speaking for 40 days. This was the immediate meeting in Galilee, prearranged courtesy. This was at the Lord's, when Jesus was instituting the Lord's Supper. He said, hey, when I've resurrected, meet me in Galilee. So now they're meeting in Galilee. It's on a mountain, probably the same mountain as the Sermon on the Mount. 500 people, according to 1 Corinthians 16, in my opinion, 500 small d disciples were also meeting. They were the ones that not everybody was as convinced as the 11 disciples were. Some of them doubted, but the other disciples worshiped him, another sign of divinity, incidentally, because Jesus now was going to give a message, and Matthew wanted to make it an exclamation point. Why didn't Matthew include all of the other details? because he wanted you to feel the force of Jesus' last commandment, according to the Gospel of Matthew, to go and make disciples. And then what does he finish it with? What does Matthew decide? This is what I want to have ringing in your ears when you're done reading this account. And the words that he chose, not again, not, these were not Jesus' last words, but the words were words of comfort. Lo, I'm with you, even till the end of the age, which indicates he ain't done working. The age that we're in, he's still very active, totally active, sovereignly active. And Jesus wanted to let us know that, hey, it's going to get rough out there. You could take a shellacking. You could be persecuted. You could be ostracized. You could be made fun of. I'm with you even to the end of the age. Ask yourself this question. In fact, want some homework today? You're going to get it. Here it is. Ponder that. What does that say about our Savior that he would deliver to the disciples and us words of comfort before he ascended? It says a lot. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.